Welcome to the Daily Word from the Fountain, heard weekdays at 4 p.m. on Life Radio WIFI. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message.
When Jesus walked on the water to go to Peter, and then Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus, I don't know about you, but I think that's one of the most intriguing events between Jesus and his disciples in the whole 3.5 years. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to take it out, because today we're in the fifth message of the Daring Faith series. Everybody say, Daring Faith. Now, the title or the subject of today's message is Dare to Make a Move. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I dare you to make a move. Now, I want you to grab your Bible. How many of you brought your Bible to church? Remember back in the day, Maddie, when we was kids, Daddy would say, don't forget your Bible. We used to come to church carrying our Bible like this. Come on now. I know we didn't wait for the preacher to read it to us. Somebody better get me out of here. Or you may have a device, whether you have your Bible or you have a device to open up and turn it on. Either way, get it out. Now slap your neighbor with it and tell him this is going to be good. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 14 and like to read along. Now, this account of Jesus walking on water is in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in John. Some different things get brought to light. And this text, everybody, is not so simple as you might think. How many in the room have ever read this before in one of the Gospels, the account of Jesus and Peter walking on water? If you have, just raise your hand. Let me see. All right, a good many of you have read it. Our subject today is Dare to Make a Move. Now, let me just qualify it. Anybody in the room who has been walking on water ever since you were saved, you never failed, you never sunk, you never messed up, you never crashed and burned, take a nap. This is for the rest of us. Okay? Now here we go, Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, in verse 22, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was in the middle of the sea, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against it. And in the fourth watch of the night, that would be somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, "It is a ghost." They cried out in fear. But immediately, lots of immediately's in this text, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." One word. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately. When he began to sink, Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Dare to make a move. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your Christian life, if you are a follower of Jesus, that you felt God calling you to do something and it scared you to death to step out? One, two. Did I come to the right church? Yeah. Yeah. And I want us to look at this text like we've never read it before. And now, I've preached from here before and many times in many places, and most preachers tackle this text, and here's what they say. You know, Peter walked on the water, but when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And so the totality of the text is keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's part of it. But don't think for a moment that's all of it. And I remember I used to preach, oh, keep your eyes on Jesus. I still do. But today, as we wrestle with this text, I'm not going to any other scriptures, just right here. We're going to stay right here, and we're going to peel this thing back, and let's see what God is trying to teach us out of this text. And I guarantee you, it is more than just keeping your eyes on Jesus. Now, if we're going to talk about Peter, everybody, we got to talk about his whole life, his successes and his failures. Now, Peter was a walking contradiction. I mean, he had successes and he had failures. And don't anybody look too odd at me, because all of us have times of contradiction in our life. Times when we're singing praises, times when we fail so miserably we wonder how it ever happened. Peter was like that. He had times of great faith, but he had times when he had almost none, no faith at all. Peter, he was prone to outbursts of anger. Don't anybody say amen. He lost his temper. Yet at times he showed great compassion. He was impulsive and prone to do stupid stuff. He was yet very bold and very courageous. Yet at the crucifixion, he played the coward. Bold and courageous, somebody that in the middle of a storm would get out of a boat and walk on water. Man, I love this guy. And at the Last Supper, he said, I will never deny you. I will die with you. And a few hours later, he was telling some girl in the courtyard, I never knew the man. A life full of contradiction, Peter was. Success and failure. Yet did he declare the gospel on the day of Pentecost? Boldly and in the face of opposition? Absolutely. And everybody in this room has had your share of success and you've had your share of failure. But I just want everybody to know that God knows how to deal with your downside. Can I get an amen in the room? And here we see Peter's great faith and his great failure. And I want everybody in the room to know that God loves you when you bring your A game. And he loves you when you fall flat on your face. He loves you when you get it right. And he loves you when you get it wrong. He loves you when you're bold as a lion. And he loves you at midnight when you got the covers pulled over your head. Verse 22, I'm going to take you back and walk you through. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Let's peel this back just a little bit. Jesus made them get into the boat. Now, I want to ask you, how many here think Jesus knew that they were going to go into a storm? Did you know that nothing ever catches God by surprise? God has information you don't have. Now, watch. He made them get into the boat. And I wonder if somewhere in the middle of the storm, Pastor Dave, they were wondering, why did he send us into this storm? If he's the Messiah, if he knows everything, doesn't he know we're in a mess here? Jesus commanded them to get in that boat and get out of here. And I'm going to tell you why I think why. This happened right after the feeding of the 5,000. Now, in John's gospel, he says after Jesus took a schoolboy's lunch and fed thousands of people, you know what the crowds wanted to do? They wanted to make him king. Jesus knew the disciples wanted him to establish an earthly kingdom. And Jesus knew that they had no concept of the cross. So to keep the disciples from getting caught up in this humanistic nonsense of making him an earthly king, he sends them on a boat to the other side. And I gather this, sometimes the storm you're going through is Jesus saving you from a worse one. Thank God. This may feel like the wheels are coming off the chariot, but God may have me going through this to spare me from that. I said God has information you don't have. And now they're in the middle of the sea. How many here have been to Israel and went out on that tour of the Sea of Galilee in a boat? A handful of you have. Now, the Sea of Galilee is 7 miles across. And when the Bible says they were in the middle of the sea, they were in about rowing about 3.5 miles. Anybody ever row a boat? Go on vacation, let's rent a rowboat. And 30 minutes into it, you're like, let's go do something else. They didn't row for minutes. They rowed likely for 8-9 hours. And they weren't on some little vacation lake. The wind had kicked the waves up, and they were fighting for their lives. And they were in the middle of the lake. Let me ask you, have any of you ever been in the middle of something? They were in the middle of their storm. Anybody ever been in the middle of a trial? In the middle of pain? You begin to wonder if you can take another step, get out of bed one more day, and you're so wore out of pretending like everything's all right. Whenever you're in the middle of it, there's always trauma. They couldn't see the shore they came from or the shore they were going to. Sometime we're in the middle of it. Here they were. They'd come too far to turn back, but scared to death to go forward. Has anybody ever been in the middle of a storm? But in the, and they had to be exhausted. Exhausted. Don't answer. Don't say amen or clap. But anybody ever just, life has just wore you out? Anybody ever just, some of you barely made it here today. Life has got you, the bills, the kids, the school, the family, the marriage. It's got you just exhausted. You can't see where you're going, but you know you've come too far to turn back. They couldn't see either shore. Their ship was being tossed around like a toy boat in a bathtub. Scared to death, thinking this storm could sink their ship, and they were in full-blown panic mode. And then Jesus shows up. I said, Jesus shows up. But he doesn't show up in a very comfortable way. Neither does he show up in a very predictable way. Oh, by the way, stop thinking every storm you're in is from the devil. I said, stop thinking every storm you're in is the devil. Pentecostals are famous for rebuking the devil when God's trying to teach us something. Amen. Somebody say, don't give up. And so Jesus shows up, and here it is in verse 25. It's up on the big screen. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. They think he's a ghost. Pump the brakes. In Mark's gospel, there's something that's said that perplexes me, and I don't quite get it. In Mark's gospel, when he writes about it, he says Jesus saw them making headway painfully because the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, the next part, which confuses me, it says, and he meant to pass them by. Man, yeah. It says, if they didn't cry out to him, he would have just kept walking. I didn't quite get it, and I'm not sure I do have all of it, but he sees the pain they're in, and he sees their exhaustion, and he sees the trouble and their fear, and he would have walked right by. And yet, I think he was waiting for a cry. And could it be that Jesus is in this place and he sees your pain and he sees your crisis and he sees your exhaustion and he's just waiting for you to cry out to him? And you know what else? They didn't even cry out in faith. They cried out in fear. don't care. God don't care if you're crying out in faith or you cry out in fear. I do know this. When you cry out, the master of the universe will stand at attention. Praise God. And their cry, it was not a faith-filled cry. It was a fear-filled cry. But it stopped Jesus in his tracks. I believe that the Lord is here. It's a beautiful building and we're all here, but the Bible says whenever two or three gather in his name, he is there. This is not just a church service with some ritual tradition. God is here. God is here. He's under the covers when your head's covered up. He's in the darkest night. God is here, and could it be? Oh, there's no doubt he sees your pain and knows the crisis you're in. There's no doubt he sees your and feels your exhaustion, your shame. And could it be he's waiting for your cry? And could it be you don't cry out because you think he won't hear you? You've sinned too much, or your shame is too great, or your pain and you've tried before. I want you to know that my God hears your cry. In fact, the Bible says that his arm is not short. He can reach in the lowest pit. Did God have to reach very far down to get anybody here? Don't act all holy on me now, people. Don't leave me up here all by myself, see? And I ask you, did he have to reach a little way down, or did he have to reach a long way down? The Bible says his arm is not short and his ear is not deaf to your cry. And they cried out. They cried out in fear, but at least they cried out, and it got the attention of Jesus. And when I read verse 27, and it says that Jesus showed up walking on the water. Could you put verse 27 up for me? He said, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Now, they're in the boat, and there's got to be a better way to comfort your distraught disciples. There's got to be a better way to comfort your disciples who are about to lose their mind.
We hope you enjoyed the Daily Word from the Fountain. The Fountain of Life is located at 2035 Columbus Road in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either of our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. On behalf of Pastor Russ, thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.